This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
It's Wednesdays. It's Woke Wednesdays for us here on The Morning Beat. Halfway through your week. And while we all start today, we can't help but think about those who are in the path of the hurricane, which is now at least... not as strong as it once was, but the devastation that people are waking up to in the Bahamas the first day of sunlight.
Oh, it's so devastating. Yeah. I'm thankful that we're at, what, I believe a Category 2 now. So it's kind of just going around. But you showed me the saddest video of a husband essentially telling, you know, the guy that he was interviewing with how he lost his wife. And you can just see he's in complete shock. I mean, you know, we forget that they are damaging to other people.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I forget. First of all, I remember growing up on the East Coast with hurricanes. Certainly not this bad. Yeah, we did. We'd have like trees down. It would be that kind of thing. Certainly nothing like a Category 5 or in that sphere of damage. The other big issue was it just moves so slowly. Like it just really hovered over the Bahamas for so long. The devastation is just like... it's hard to wrap your brain around now today when we're seeing clearer images that the sun is out. And I don't know if anyone was watching CNN over the past 24 hours, but there was a man who sadly lost his wife and the reporters caught him moments after. Drowned in their home, in their own home. And he was waiting for her body to be removed before he left himself.
You know, not to make light of this, but I just read a meme that said Hurricane Dorian should have been called Hurricane Donald. It moves slow with no direction and ruins everything it touches.
That's real.
And it does. But I don't know what I would do in something like that. Lisa and I were having the conversation, like, if we were back east, or how do you prepare? And it's crazy how you don't know how to prepare for these devastations unless 100%. They, like, come to you.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, it's sad because this is the beginning of, I feel like, storm season. And so this may be one of many tropical storms and hurricanes that may pass through that area. It's just sad. Well, our thoughts are going to those folks who are trying to, I'm sure, wrap their brains around what they're going to do next.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sure in the days to come, we'll find what the most appropriate place to donate is. I'm sure there are people in need, and we can pass that information forward. By the way, come at this hour, Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh my God, this is crazy.
Whoopi Goldberg, she came for Will and Grace. She had a lot to say about one of their recent Instagram posts, and we'll tell you about that story as well as Straight Pride. Yep, another one. AOC had a lot to say about that. And then rounding out the hour, Harry Potter books are pulled from a library. And the reason why, well, I mean, maybe so you'll agree stupid. With the reason why it was pulled. I don't know. No judgment. But then also, of course, it is Woke Wednesday. Sam McGarrett from Equality California will be talking to us in the next hour, giving us all the tea about that which is happening in our political landscape. But before we get there, it is time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, the destruction that Hurricane Dorian heaped upon the northern Bahamas is unimaginable. Now, a good portion of Grand Bahama Island, including a major part, is underwater. Parts of the Abaco Islands are decimated. Thousands of homes and businesses have been heavily damaged or destroyed. At least 7 people have been killed by Dorian, the strongest storm to ever make landfall in the Bahamas. But the country's prime minister said the death toll will rise as rescue teams get out into the hardest hit areas. Among the dead are an 8-year-old boy who was found by his mother and a woman who drowned in her house while her husband watched helplessly. Meanwhile, Dorian is now slowly creeping along the southeast U.S. coast. The Category 2 storm is skirting the coasts of Florida and Georgia, but CNN meteorologist Judson Jones says just a little wobble to the west could mean Dorian makes a landfall in either South or North Carolina. So we'll keep you updated as best as we can throughout the show. Another news, a family celebrating a birthday, a high school psychic physics teacher and his daughter, a young woman following her dreams of the ocean. These were just some some of the victims of the deadly diving boat fire that killed 34 people on Labor Day. They had all signed up to spend the holiday weekend on the boat, scuba diving with gourmet meals served between dives, but they died when the blaze blocked their escape routes from the boat's lower sleeping decks. 20 bodies have been recovered so far, and divers say they've seen more bodies in the wreckage of the dive boat Conception, which sank off the coast of Santa Cruz Island. Crews want to stabilize what's left of the boat so divers can safely enter it and recover the rest of the bodies. Only 5 people, all crew members, survived the tragedy. How devastating. All right, you guys, well, we do want to remind you in better news that we are coming into the last of festival season, which is why it's important that you head on over to weirdchannelq.com for your chance to win tickets to Life is Beautiful, where they play all of your favorite Channel Q artists. You've got Billie Eilish, Janelle Monáe, King Princess, so many more. You get a 3-day pass, and you can hang out with us at the Downtown Grand Pool Party, where Poppy and I will be hosting on Sunday. So make sure you head on over to We Are Channel Q for your chance to win. Now, coming up, Whoopi Goldberg and Deborah Messing. They're at it. Find out why and who's right. Stick around for the new Channel Q.
Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
The new Channel Q.
So last week, you and I were chit-chatting about ways to tell if you're old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you were around when this theme song was first hitting the airwaves, you might be a person of a certain age.
You're old.
Kind of. And you know one of the other things, how to tell you're old? If your back goes out more than you do. And my back is out. So,
and I said, how did you do that? You said, I don't even know.
I have no idea, yeah. I remember on Labor Day going to the gym and kind of pushing it a little too much. I remember thinking that was like, And
wait, first of all, you've already pleased me by saying you went to the gym on Labor Day.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, way to go.
Well, it was the day of a very big gay pool party, so I thought I could just
pump it up,
tackle the summer's, you know, fitness plan all in one day and just right. make up for lost time.
Right.
Didn't happen.
Why? Let me tell you something. Say that again, because I feel like so many people think that. They're like, yeah. I've got a pool party today, so
I'm
going
to go to the gym
in
the morning.
I'm going to work so hard.
That's right. And that'll clearly reflect on my body in 2 hours.
Right. Okay. Glad I'm not the only one that thinks that.
Did not happen. But that being said, we played the Will and Grace music because Deborah Messing got into a little trouble this weekend along with her co-host Eric McCormick. You know them as Will and Grace in the hit series Will and Grace, but essentially there is a fundraiser for Donald Trump happening in Beverly Hills. And Deborah Messing tweeted, please print a list of all the attendees, please. And in the Hollywood, she tweeted this to the Hollywood Reporter over the holiday weekend. She said the public has a right to know. However, as The View was covering it, you know, they were talking about the 1950s Hollywood blacklist in which many people were on this list that didn't deserve to be on this list. They were people who did not work in Hollywood again. If you were associated with those, you got mistaken and thrown on this list. It has a bad history. So listen to what Whoopi Goldberg had to say in response to whether or not she believed that Eric McCormick and Deborah Messing had a point with this list. So listen to her take on it.
Why not? Last time people did this, people ended up killing themselves.
Yeah.
This is not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Listen,
your idea of who you don't want to work with is your personal business. Do not encourage people to print out lists, because the next list that comes out, your name will be on, and then people will be coming after you.
So that was Whoopi's feeling, just hearkening back to the sort of Joseph McCarthy's Hollywood blacklist of the 1950s, where people did kill themselves, and they, you know, a lot of people lost their jobs or weren't able to work again. Some very innocent people as well.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I really do believe and agree with Whoopi. I think that it's a very slippery slope when you start mixing business with personal. Do I want to know everybody in this station that voted for Trump? No, I don't.
I was curious about that.
Because I don't want my personal beliefs to reflect business. I come here to enter, come to work. I mean, right. It's a little different because we talk about our own personal beliefs a
also,
lot on air.
Also, we are in a studio that has...
Couldn't be gayer.
How many rainbow flags in the studio? So we are already making a political statement in the space. I was shooting Grey's Anatomy. I was guest starring the year that Trump got elected. In fact, the very day that we're tabulating the votes state by state, we're counting it. And I remember working opposite Ellen Pompeo. Clearly, we'd both voted for Hillary. We're big Hillary supporters at the time. But then when I went to my car, two of the crew, I don't know if they were from that show or just on the lot, but they were going toward their trucks and they were talking about reasons why a woman could never do the job of a man as president.
Oh.
And that's why they had voted for Donald Trump. And it was so bizarre to kind of wrap my brain around playing a gay character on Grey's Anatomy and having this awesome storyline while also simultaneously having someone have a wildly different perspective that perhaps could have worked on the crew that I was there shooting. It was just interesting. And I was like, did it make me feel a certain way knowing that they held these beliefs? Probably more so that they made the male-female comparison. But the Trump thing, I was like, ooh, yeah. See, everyone always says Hollywood's all so liberal. That's not really true in every aspect
of
it.
No, it's not.
Because we have our crews. We've got people who, you know, live in the suburbs and may have different political values. But I agree with you. I don't know if I'd want to know.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, because like you said, Eric McCormick and Deborah Messing, you know, if they're a lead in a show, they do have a lot of power that if the director did vote for Trump, that they could get him fired. And at what point,
or if they didn't, are they just not rehired, I guess,
or not rehired. But I mean, at what point do we have to put a stop to my personal beliefs and how you do the job? I mean, like, I don't like it. I wouldn't love, you know, working with somebody that I don't have the same beliefs on, but at the end of the day, business still has to be business the way that, you know, religion and state, church and state have to have a separation. I believe that personal and business do as well.
Well, Eric McCormick took to Instagram and he posted, "I want to be clear about my social media post from last week, which has been misinterpreted in a very upsetting way. I absolutely do not support blacklists or discrimination of any kind. As anyone who knows me would attest, I simply like to understand where Trump's major donations are coming from, which is a matter of public record. I'm holding myself responsible for making educated and informed decisions that I can morally and ethically stand by. And to do that, transparency is essential." So, I mean, essentially, you know, he did, he's right. He can, you know, find out the matter of public record, those donations that Trump will receive at this Beverly Hills fundraiser. And that's his, you know, that is his right to know. However, the idea of creating a list that where people will be blackballed from the industry, or any industry for that matter, for supporting a different candidate than you do is, I don't know. I agree with Whoopi on this. It's not a great idea.
I do too. I agree. All right. Well, people that are also having a differing opinion are people holding straight pride.
Oh, God.
It happened again. But find out what AOC had to say and the reaction from the public. Stick around with the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
So, you know, we had straight pride conversations as it kind of hit California. I believe it was last week, the week before that. I don't know. It's hard to keep track. So many straight prides popping up. But they seem to be kind of under the guise of kind of, you know, the rhetoric that they're using seems to be similar to like hate groups, to be honest. But anyway, there was this so-called straight pride, which happened in Boston. And it's basically sort of this white supremacist Trump rally led by apparently Milo. Remember him? Milo Yiannopoulos?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, you might have seen some tweets by a lot of journalists covering this story, but it was mostly memes and funny, making fun of it. In fact, the organizers of Straight Pride had a press conference. And one of the questions that were asked at the press conference, did you hear about this?
No, I didn't. I'm waiting.
He said, "Hey, what do you say to taxpayers who want to know why you're wasting the city's resources because you three guys can't get laid?"
Oh, my God. I love it.
Well, basically, the organizers obviously did not answer that question. They didn't take the bait. But the Boston police in riot gear and motorcycles easily outnumbered the, quote, dozens of straight pride marchers and were met by nearly 1,000 counter-protesters. And police presence and security alone must have cost the taxpayers thousands, if not more. Mm-hmm. Anyway, despite, this is the quote, despite claims that the parade was not meant to be anti-LGBT, just pro-straight, this is from an LGBT journalist. He says, the organizers made the transphobic remark, "Ladies and gentlemen, people of all two genders, we welcome you."
Oh.
And another attendee proudly proclaimed, "I'm anti-gay," while wearing a "socialism is for bleep" t-shirt, which a gay slur.
Got it.
So there definitely was not so much of the straight folks attending this parade. In fact, there was a huge part of the population that was absent. Women. weren't a whole lot of ladies that showed up for this.
You know what's funny? That does not surprise me at all. I find that women, you know, of course you see women that are married and or they're single and they have their beliefs, but I find that with these straight prides, women haven't really taken the bait either.
I think they see it for what it is.
Yeah, well, because it's a hate parade. Mm-hmm. I mean, the rhetoric that they have on their shirts, that it's coming out of their mouths. I couldn't be happier with the way it turned out.
Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she took to Twitter and she said, "For men who are allegedly so proud of being straight, they seem to show real incompetence at attracting women to their event. Seems more like I struggle with masculinity parade to me." And then she did the, I don't know, emoji.
I love it.
And she says, "Hope they grow enough over the next year to support/join LGBTQ fam next pride." So who knows?
I mean, straight pride is just so dumb. And we'll say it again. We love straight our straight pride. Brothers and sisters, of course, and our straight allies. But like, you guys have straight pride every day. You've literally never been discriminated for your sexual orientation and for who you love. It's crazy to me that you continue thinking that. There was this girl the other day that she posted on Instagram, something on Instagram, and it was like, "You guys are all morons, including Taylor Swift, for wanting the Equality Act. It's called civil rights, and it already happened." And I'm like, you guys are so worried about us coming forward and asking for what we want.
You don't even
have the facts right. Like, that's not true.
Right.
We still are banned from being able to do a lot of things, still are not protected to be able to do a lot of things.
And at any point in many states across the country, you can be fired from your job, you could be evicted from your home, and sometimes under the guise of religious freedom protection from your employer or the person that you're renting from. But it's a lot. It's a lot of things that are on this laundry list, which is growing exponentially longer, of the things that that separate us from our straight counterparts, legally, that is. But I'm curious to see, the legacy of the straight pride thing, if it's a one and done. Or if next year people will come out in full force, and because it wasn't greatly attended.
I feel like the straight prides that we have reported on, they have not done well. So unless they have a better, or you know what? You need gays for everything. Just hire the gays. You said it best a few weeks ago. Let the gays help you out because you're not doing a good job. Your style is terrible.
Their messaging just isn't. Just say what you do. I mean, you don't have to call it straight pride. That's confusing. Just go ahead and, if you're going to be bigots about a thing, just call it the bigot parade.
Yeah, that's perfect. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, find out what book is being pulled from schools, apparently because the bibbidi-bobbidi-boo is too real. Stick around with the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
Now, big question here. Did you read the Harry Potter books when they first came out? I remember I actually bought the book.
Yeah, I loved it.
I loved it too.
And I felt like I lived in that world. I felt like I could be a witch. I
100%.
Felt like I could do anything. And actually, it's not too far off now from my 31-year-old self, because it was teaching me how to manifest so early on. I loved it.
I remember actually just being, I think it was in my early 20s or like late teens when they first came out. It was like late 90s, I think they came out. The books came out in the 90s. I remember buying them and just wanting to get through them and just anticipating when they would hit. Oh. You know what happens there?
That was Harry Potter listening to us, and a witch cast a spell.
That's right. Actually, that goes well with the story.
Yeah,
so
you.
The students in a Catholic elementary school in Tennessee will no longer be able to borrow copies of Harry Potter, any of the Harry Potters, after a pastor there outlawed them, claiming, wait for it, they contain real curses and spells.
That is so dumb.
Well, tell that to Reverend Dan Rehill. He informed the St. Edward Catholic School parents that the Seven Tomb Fantasy series will be banned from the Nashville School's library, as he consulted with several exorcists or exorcisers, several exorcists in the U.S. and Italy, who suggested they be removed. He said these books present magic as both good and evil, which is not true, but in fact, a clever deception. He told them, by the way, in an email, he said the curses and spells used in the books are actually curses and spells, which when read by a human being, risk conjuring evil spirits into the presence of the person reading the text.
Hold on. I want to get an exorcist or somebody that can break down the spells and tell us if it's true. Because how could you put real spells children's book?
Like J.K. Rowling, I believe she did all of this as fiction.
Yeah, I can't imagine her putting in real spells for second, third, fourth, fifth graders to read.
Well, in his defense, many religious groups claim that the books are based in satanic teachings and are blatant celebration of the occult.
Well, I mean, you know, religious people, really hardcore religious people, probably don't like the book because anything like witches, even Halloween. I remember Lisa in the religion that she was in growing up, they couldn't celebrate Halloween because it was like celebrating evil.
Us too.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's not so far-fetched from, you know, religious people, but I can imagine real spells.
I also just, listen, J.K. Rowling is like the clap back queen. And I was kind of surprised that she didn't really have anything to say about this on her Instagram.
She hasn't said anything yet?
No. And do you expect her to perhaps speak about this or no?
Yeah, if it were me, I would definitely say something unless there's a little truth to it.
I mean, do you think there could actually, do you think she was like busy studying up the occult to indoctrinate a whole generation of kids?
I think she knew what she was doing, but I can't imagine putting in actual spells. I want a spellbuster. I want somebody to come on the show and tell me if this is real or not. Do we know what spells in particular they're talking about?
I don't know. Do you remember any off the top of your mind, do you remember any like Illuminarius or whatever? No.
No, because I didn't go outside and cast spells. I was just interested in the book.
So you didn't get the wand or any of those things?
No.
Did you buy any merch? A t-shirt?
No, I didn't, but I did go to Harry Potter World earlier this year at Universal Studios.
I did too.
And that was magical.
I got the scarf.
You got the scarf and you wear it?
Yeah, I think I've worn it here in the winter. It's yellow and maroon. I got the
that's cute.
Gryffindor colors.
Well, I like it because they do give you a wand, and the wand tells you like what each thing is that you're doing. But that's, I mean, as far as I've gone.
Oh, you didn't buy one? They just lent you a watch.
Yeah, they just give you one. And you like can point at a game or point at somewhere in Universal Studios as long as it's in Harry Potter World, and it pulls up like what the whole thing is, like what it is,
that's
how long
fun.
The wait is.
Yeah, my roommate has one. Well, there's like, you know, the Alberto, which is like abierto, which is like open, to open the door. You can see that in the Fantastic Beasts movie. There is Achiccio? I don't know.
A-C-C-I-O.
It's a summoning charm. I mean, there's a whole bunch of these, you know, there's the bubblehead charm that creates bubbles of air around the caster's head and mouth, acting as a breathing apparatus. Perhaps you have to go diving underwater. How about a cheering charm?
What's that?
It causes the person upon whom the spell has been cast to become happy and content.
Wait, these are all very nice. Put the cheering charm on me. I'm
See?
Happy and ready to be content.
Well, there you go. Well, listen, I mean, this is what happens. If you go to a private school, you go to any kind of religious school, you can't be surprised. I mean, I feel like this Harry Potter thing, my brother grew up completely without it in his life. He's 20 years younger than me, and there was no way he was going to have anything close to Harry Potter in the house. So, I mean, there are kids out there that won't know the wonders of Harry Potter until they become adults.
That's so funny because I actually read Harry Potter in Catholic school now that I'm thinking about it.
Wow.
I wonder if the teachers never said anything. It wasn't a big deal. I mean, every kid in my class was reading it. It was like a phenomenon.
Well, yeah, I also feel like it's a little late.
Yeah.
It's a little late for this reverend to be giving us this warning 20 plus years after the fact.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, calm down, Reverend. We're all going to be reading it still.
Well, Sammy Garrett Pate will be coming in reading us some of the political headlines and explaining what the heck is going on, including the White House coming out and saying that Mike Pence cannot be homophobic because the reason will have you shocked.
And stick around for the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
I want to give a big shout out to those who tuned in last night to Lifetime's Dance Moms to catch up with the season reunion special hosted by me. It was a really, really fun one. And yes, Abby did really leave set and in the middle of the reunion.
First of all, you looked amazing. That
Thanks.
Suit was gorgeous. Your
Zara.
Face was flawless.
Who would have thought?
We love Zara.
Yeah.
The moms really got into it.
They did. And, you know, it's one of those heightened moments where, you know, I think all but one of these moms has been a part of the show before. So they were all new to it. And I think their emotions were appropriately high. It is very difficult for hours to kind of rehash things that you've kind of already gotten over, but then you see footage you'd never seen before and you're expected to talk about it, and perhaps someone says something about your kid, or, you know, a subtle nuance to the tone in which they talked about your child, and people just get very in their feelings.
Well, I was gagged when Abby was talking about, I believe it's Sarah, is Sarah the mom or Sarah's the daughter?
Sarah's the daughter.
And she was like, don't compare Sarah to Presley. She is nothing. Don't even try it. You don't know how she feels. And Sarah's mom was like, I'm literally also just trying to be empathetic towards Lily. And she's like, your child's also not Lily, and don't try to be. I was like, yeah. Abby's going in.
Yeah, Abby really gives you some good zingers there. One of the bigger things was the comments I got was, I don't know how that host, which I love that people are like, that host, it was me, use my name. I don't know that host sits there like, oh my God, he didn't know. I wonder if he knew what he was getting himself into.
I was thinking so too. I don't know how you keep the show going because they're literally going at it.
I mean, we shot for like 4, maybe 5 hours. So anyway, there's a whole other reunion next week with the kiddies, and it's so much fun, a lot lighter and a little bit less stressful. I mean, still a little more anxiety. It's got a little spice of anxiety, but it's mostly just fun.
But more fun, I'm sure.
More fun, for sure. Including some white sparkly sneakers that I think you'll approve of.
Cute!
Yeah. Hey, so coming up this hour, we have got Samuel Garrett Pate from Equality California coming in to join us for Woke Wednesdays, talking about some political headlines that have us scratching our heads, like, including the Mike Pence team coming out and saying that Mike Pence can't be homophobic because he's actually going to have lunch with a gay couple.
Oh, got it.
World leader. Joy. And his partner, but still. And anyway, we'll talk about all that stuff and a whole lot more coming up this hour. But before we get there, it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, you can get pretty much anything at Walmart, but it's about to get a lot harder to find guns and ammo there. The mega retailer says it will stop selling handgun ammunition and short barrel rifle ammunition, the kind that can be used in assault-style weapons. Now, Walmart is also asking that customers no longer openly carry guns into its stores. Mind you, Kroger did that also. Walmart CEO Doug McMillon says these changes were spurred by the El Paso, Texas mass shooting, which happened in a Walmart, as well as recent shootings in Dayton, Ohio, and Midland and Odessa, Texas. He also sent a letter to Congress demanding lawmakers do their part to stop gun violence. Walmart will, however, continue to sell long-barreled deer rifles and shotguns and much of the ammunition for those weapons. All right, you guys, a family celebrating a birthday, a high school physics teacher and his daughter, a young woman following her dreams of the ocean. They were just some of the victims of the deadly diving boat fire that killed 34 people on Labor Day. They had all signed up to spend the holiday weekend on the boat scuba diving with gourmet meals served between dives, but they died when the blaze blocked their escape routes from the boat's lower sleeping decks. 20 bodies have been recovered so far, and divers say they've seen more bodies in the wreckage of the dive boat Conception, which sank off the coast of Santa Cruz Island. Crews want to stabilize what's left of the boat so divers can safely enter it and recover the rest of the bodies. Only 5 people, all crew members, survived the tragedy. All right, you guys, we want to remind you there is still so much fun happening to finish off your summer, and it's the biggest summer party of the year in Vegas. We're giving away 5 trips to Vegas for the Life is Beautiful Music and Arts Festival, plus access to the Life is Beautiful Pool Party Series hosted at the Downtown Grand Hotel and Casino. All you have to do is head on over to WeAreChannelQ.com to register to win. The festival this September 20th, 21st, and 22nd is in downtown Las Vegas, featuring some of our favorite Q artists like Billie Eilish, Post Malone, Rufus Du Sol, and so many more. So head on over to WeAreChannelQ.com for your chance to win tickets, of course. All right, you guys, well, it is Woke Wednesday, and we will be joined by Samuel Garrett Pate to talk about Walmart banning guns and Mike Pence having a love for the gays, allegedly. Stick around with a new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Look at that. She said your name right. Michaela Gordon.
Michaela Gordon. You know, it's right. So funny. When we started, they only said Michaela, and I was like, yeah, I'm Beyonce. And then you were like, no, say your last name. And now I love it. I'm like, Michaela Gordon.
That's right. You could be Michaela anyone.
Yeah, but now I'm Michaela. Now I'm me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Very smart.
Hands down.
Hey, so it's Woke Wednesdays today. That's when we bring in our political expert, Sam Garrett Pate, to unpack some of the biggest headlines happening in politics. So welcome back, Samuel.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So let's talk about, let's start with Mike Pence. Why don't we start there? Our
Everyone's
VP.
Favorite topic.
That's right. Recently, his team came out and said, for all those who believe that Mike Pence is anti-gay, ha ha ha, He shall be having, he's basically dining with a world leader who happens to be gay and that guy's partner.
Yes.
And that is what they're using.
The prime minister in Ireland.
That's right.
Who is gay. Mm-hmm. And his partner. They're having lunch.
Now, when you are a VP and you have a long-standing history of being, of having anti-LGBT policies.
You mean like supporting conversion therapy?
That's a good one.
Imposing marriage.
That's another good one he did.
Saying that the way that we should combat the AIDS crisis is to actually fund more conversion therapy.
How Karen teaches at a school where LGBT Q teachers are not allowed.
Yep. Well, so then the only thing you have to do to make up for all of that is have lunch with a gay person.
That is the craziest thing to me.
I mean, do you think that, was this deliberate? Like, was there authenticity on this?
It's stupid. It's just so stupid. I mean, literally, this guy, Judd Deere, who works in the White House, was sitting there and he's like, oh my God, you guys, they keep saying that he's anti-gay, but he's having lunch with a gay person. Why don't I tweet that? I'm not even, like, it's funny to us.
Yeah.
But to him, like,
what I think actually went
through his head was, I'll show them he's having lunch with a gay person.
But that's literally like when people are so racist and they're like, no, I know a black person. No, she takes care of my kids.
Same thing.
I mean,
get that a lot too. Like, I, you know, especially having been out for so long, I had so many people who perhaps, you know, didn't support any kind of LGBTQ legislation in the past, meet me, and then they're kind of stuck with me in that moment, whether it's a dinner or otherwise. I mean, you could sit with someone that you have differences with, different opinion, but do you think he sought this out, or was this just kind of like world leaders have to meet with world leaders?
I mean, this is not the first time they've met either, right? They had breakfast last time.
Yeah, I was about to say.
So they had breakfast, lunch?
So now they're like having lunch. Now.
Next thing you know,
double date for dinner. I really like, so Chasten Buttigieg, who, you know, whose husband, Mayor Pete, is mayor of a city in Indiana, South Bend, Indiana. So they've had a few chances to have run-ins with the Pences before. Mm-hmm. He clapped back on Twitter saying, I've sat at tables with people who would gladly deny me the right to marry, who openly support conversion therapy, and who adamantly believe being gay is a choice. Doesn't mean they're any less homophobic just because we shared a meal. Which I think is perfect. I mean, that's really what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're not going to get away from your literally, you have done so much against the LGBTQ community legally. Like, anything that you could do, anything, any way that you could keep us away from having just a very normal life. So lunch isn't going to be the one for me either.
Honestly, I wish they had, like, the biggest display of, like, the gayest lunch ever. I want the chef to be in on it. I want him to prepare, like, the most... I don't even know what a gay meal looks like, but I'm sure he could come up with one.
This reminds me of when Pete Buttigieg sat down with, I can't remember, he was like, I'm diverse, I'm cultured. Mm-hmm. And so he sat in front of that restaurant, in front of the window where he knew all the press would be, and he sat down with a black gentleman, I can't remember. And everyone was like, okay, we get it. Like, it feels like just one of those moments to me,
I think there'd be nothing better than having a camera there. Go to reach for something, like, and put it in your mouth and ask what it is.
What is this?
Oh, that's a kumquat. Like, I want all the names to be things that Mike Pence would hate to utter.
So, according to our friend Judd in the White House, there will be cameras there because he actually felt the need. He didn't think anyone would believe him, so he tweeted out a screenshot of the vice president's schedule on the trip.
Oh, God.
Which happens to say that there will be a pool spray at the top of the lunch, so that means that a bunch of the White House pool photographers will be there to capture the beginning of the lunch before they have to leave so that the lunch can be
now,
private.
What does this, I mean, what if you're this, you know, if you, it's the one of the leaders in Poland, you said, right? Am I in the right place? No.
No.
It's Ireland. I'm sorry. Yep. We're going to Poland after this story, but Ireland, do you...
No, the Polish do not have many gay leaders.
That's right. But
they have a very far-right government.
Yes, they do. But when you are meeting with a Mike Pence, who's so on the record for these anti-LGBT policies, I mean, do you come prepared? Like, do you think that that somehow... issues regarding LGBTQ plus things come up? Or do you just keep it on the up and up and professional about why you're meeting to begin with?
I believe the last time that they met, they did mention afterwards that they had a conversation about LGBTQ issues. I wouldn't be surprised if they do again. I think, you know, this prime minister in Ireland has sort of overseen a very transformational period in Irish history where, you know, the government has started to embrace more progressive values, and you know, we've seen abortion legalized in Ireland under. So I do think, you know, he has been responsible for moving the country along, but also sort of speaking truth to power in terms of meeting with foreign leaders who are homophobic. And this is why it's so important to have LGBTQ people in elected leadership positions, is because when a Mike Pence has to confront a Mayor Pete, it's not going to make him any less homophobic, but it is going to show Mayor Pete's humanity in meeting with him. And I think it's really important to have LGBTQ people in these leadership positions for that reason. Okay. I think this prime minister in Ireland has done so much good for his country in a way that, you know, in contrast to all the bad that Mike Pence has done here.
Well, coming up, Trump didn't go to Poland, Michaela. He decided to opt out of this. Poland was having an anniversary of a monumental event. He did send a message. Unfortunately, he ended up shoving his foot in his mouth. And we'll tell you how he did that when we come back.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
It's Woke Wednesdays with Samuel Garrett Pate, who's still with us here. Now, Trump had a trip scheduled to Poland, right? And talk to us about what happened there, because he ended up not going.
Right. So Sunday was the anniversary of the day that Nazi Germany invaded Poland. It's the 80-year anniversary. Yeah. Yesterday was the 80-year anniversary of France and Britain declaring war 2 days later.
So Trump
was supposed to go to Poland to commemorate what is a very somber anniversary.
But he was stopped outside the White House. We've got some audio of that.
Right. So he didn't go because ostensibly because of the hurricane, then spent the weekend golfing. They asked him how he was feeling and if he had any message for Poland. Oh my God. Here's what he said.
Mike Pence, our vice president, is just about landing right now. And he is representing me. I look forward to being there soon. But I just want to congratulate Poland. It's a great country with great people. We also have many Polish people in our country. It could be 8 million. We love our Polish friends.
What?
He congratulated them.
Why did he even say, could be 8 million? Like, what are you talking about?
But for those following along at home, he congratulated Poland on the fact that they were
invaded by Nazis
80 years ago.
80 years ago.
Trump.
It
bothers me that even on the basic of things, he just flubs it up. This was just an easy, like, know what you're talking about before you open, or don't say anything at all.
Well, it's basic knowledge for the president of the United States.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, maybe anybody else, but things that you should have to know.
I would love to be in that room when he was like, I think I'm just going to stay behind and say I'm looking after the hurricane.
I mean, so I can just imagine being a White House advisor, though, and thinking, like, on the one hand, oh, crap, like, there he goes again. On the other hand, it's like, well, thank goodness we didn't send him to Poland. Jeez.
Oh, geez. Yeah, could you imagine? In it there.
And to our favorite gay diner, Mike Pence's credit, he actually gave a very, like, somber, appropriate speech in Poland.
Well, yeah, because anybody knows that it's very important. I mean, I'm laughing not because it's funny. It's more just funny because I think I'm never going to be surprised. And then I continue to be surprised at the lack of empathy and education Trump has.
The country lost a fifth of its population, to be clear.
That's so sad.
And he congratulated them.
80 years ago. Well, you know, listen, our time with Trump may be coming to an end because we've got a bunch of Democratic candidates.
One can hope.
Yes. Who are going to be tonight is not a sanctioned
it's
debate.
It's not a
right?
debate because, so the DNC has to approve all debates. This is not a sanctioned debate.
Conversation.
So, right. It's a forum. It is an 8-hour forum on CNN about climate change. So lots of activists within the Democratic Party had been asking for a climate focused debate, given the intensity of this crisis that we are facing. And the DNC opted not to sanction another debate, but instead to allow this climate forum to go on. So what's interesting about this is, you know, I think a lot of people have been frustrated by the fact that you only get to hear these sort of 40-second sound bites from candidates in response to any policy questions,
if they
even get to talk about a policy. You know,
100%.
Often they'll ask about one issue and only three of the candidates up there will get to answer. This will be 8 hours on climate change, with each candidate getting 40 minutes to speak about their plans on climate change. Elizabeth Warren released her $3 trillion climate plan ahead of this forum. And as Michaela just found during the break, Kamala Harris, Senator Kamala Harris, just released her $10
trillion. $10 trillion.
Girl, your girl likes to spend a lot of money.
Right.
So
most of these candidates that are left in that top tier have endorsed the Green New Deal. Uh-huh. But now, as they have with each sort of policy issue, they're releasing their own sort of spin on that.
Is it a make or break conversation for any of the candidates tonight? Will this impact voters, or is this just kind of give us a broader scope of where we might be heading in terms of climate?
There are climate voters out there who make their decision based on climate. It is not the majority of the party, but it is certainly a large block of the party. And I think, the polls consistently show that most Democratic voters have not made a final decision on who they're supporting. So even for voters for whom this is not their number one issue, mm-hmm. it is certainly one of their top issues among especially the Democratic base. It is one of their top issues, and I do think that people are going to be looking at this issue and how the candidates respond to this crisis tonight.
Didn't you grow up with a strong understanding that we needed to take care of the planet? Michaela and I talk about this a lot. There was such a strong emphasis in school, I thought, growing up, that if we don't take care of it, bad things will happen.
Right.
That was the basic understanding when we were kids. Yeah. And now we're adults, and it just seems like there's not enough legislation to protect the thing we were taught we were always supposed to protect.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's more convenient for people like Mitch McConnell to just defer to whatever the coal and oil lobbies want from them.
Right. Yeah. Well, Sam McGrath Pate, never enough time with you. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week for Woke Wednesdays, unless I see you at a bar first.
All right.
That's real.
Probably.
Stick around with the new Channel Q. Congratulations.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Grandpa Jay and Michaela Gordon here. My back is officially out, but after laying down on the floor,
you feel good?
I feel a little better.
Yeah, you did a couple yoga poses. You stretched it out, right?
Thank you for calling them yoga poses.
I thought you knew what you were doing down there.
No, just kind of figuring it out.
Just somersaulting around the studio.
Honestly, it's so real. And I'm the old one in the room, so I can't even ask a senior what to do. I have to wander the halls.
You're not the old one,
I'm
and I'll Google.
I'm the older one of the room. Anyway, but these things, I guess, apparently are going to start happening. We were talking about a gentleman who went blind. This is what the tease was all about. A teenage boy, to be a matter of fact. Now, when you were growing up, did you have restrictions on what you were allowed to eat? And, were your family strict about the kind of diet you were served?
It's interesting because we grew up really poor with my single mom. And so, like, our go-to was just, like, quick meals that were drive-through, you know, that were, like, fast food. Mm-hmm. However, when we went to my grandma's, mm-hmm. my grandma made amazing food, and then we ate well, we kind of were like fending for ourselves sometimes.
Sure.
When we were growing up. But my brother and I knew better. We didn't want to go too
crazy.
But
didn't you have like that relative that was like a weird picky eater, and it's like, oh, she only eats pasta? You know, I had family members that were like, oh no, he only eats sandwiches, peanut butter jelly for everything. I'm like, what? Like, that would have never flied. Like, that would have never, there's no way that would have gotten any mileage in my household. You did not get a separate menu at home.
So what was your dinners and breakfast like?
It was like, well, that was the funny thing. Because I grew up in a Puerto Rican family, very Caribbean culture. It was like a toasted piece of bread. Oh, well, I guess in the morning. I feel like the there's like a toasted piece of bread. Looks like an Italian piece of bread, and with butter, and then a café con leche, and you dip it in there. I don't think that was every day, but that's the breakfast I remember because it's the one I liked
honestly,
the most.
Honestly, I did too. My mom used to burn the toast and put peanut butter, and we would just dip it in the coffee. It was amazing.
This explains a lot about
six.
Us. Well, listen, some picky eaters have a lot more to worry about than not finding anything that they like on a menu. Diets high in processed foods like the ones we're talking about and low in fresh produce are actually known to lead to obesity, diabetes, heart disease, cancer. Mm. We know these things, right? But a case study published this week in the Annals of Internal Medicine involves a boy who first visited the doctor complaining of excessive fatigue at age 14. So we're in a puberty age, right? Blood tests confirmed that he was deficient in iron and vitamin B12. He reportedly had been a, quote, fussy eater. So he was treated with B12 shots and they sent him home. A year later, he added hearing loss and poor vision to his list of symptoms. But the MRI scans and an eye exam revealed no diagnosis. But by the time he was 17, his eyesight had declined to a score of 20/200, considered legally blind in the U.S.
Oh my God.
And further tests showed that his optic nerve was damaged. He was still low on B12, copper, and vitamin D. Now he continued... his continued nutritional gaps led doctors to probe into his diet to find out what the heck he was eating. And he confessed that certain foods turned him off. Well, it turns out that basically his daily meals consisted of French fries, white bread, processed ham, I guess that's like Spam, sausage, and Pringles and potato chips.
Ew.
That was it.
So
he didn't have enough nutrients to help him properly develop.
Yeah, well, you can. I mean, you can't live off that. That's crazy. I didn't know that you could go blind, though. It makes me double think everything.
Let me tell you something, though. Every parent is going to print this out or like copy and paste the link to their teens and be like, you're not going to be picky.
I know that my sister's listening right now, and I'm sure she's checking this list twice. She's good, though. She makes them eat healthy. But yeah, junk food is out.
How about Ziamika? You're an aunt, and when it is your responsibility to feed the children, are you strict or they can have what they want?
No, that's a trick question. Because when they're with me, yeah. I'm the fun aunt. So they get to have pizza and macaroni and cheese. Mm-hmm. But if
Is that
I,
only once in a while? Like, let's say you had them for like a holiday week and you see them more than once.
No. If they were with me for a couple of days, my nephew spent the night 2 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And
day one pizza.
We did pizza.
Next
we
day
went
chicken
to
and broccoli.
IHOP, and then the next day we did a little bit. No, we didn't. Mm-mm, we did. I'm actually lying. We did junk food the whole time.
Well, if your nephew goes blind, now we know.
It's my fault. Oh God. All right, you guys. Well, we've got more stories coming up for you, but I also want to remind you. Speaking of so much fun, we have Life is Beautiful tickets that you have the chance to win if you head on over to We Are Channel Q. com. It's a 3-day getaway, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Coming up in this hour, we also have What's Poppin'. You won't believe who's celebrating their 38th birthday and what clothing company is getting sued.
Sued by a major pop star.
For $10 million.
I could use that money.
I could too. Stick around with a new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Hey, so do you have any plans to travel anytime soon? It feels like it's going to be a busy fall for a lot of folks.
Well, we are going to be traveling together quite a bit. And then I'm trying to put a little something together for Daddy Lisa for Thanksgiving. So, yeah, I plan on traveling a lot.
Cute. Well, I know that we're doing Life is Beautiful and perhaps we'll be attending Palm Springs Pride.
Yeah,
even
we've
Vegas Pride.
Yeah, we're going to be busy. Life is Beautiful is going to be really fun, though. And actually, thank you for bringing that up because we want you to be able to go. You have a chance to win tickets, a 3-day pass. All you have to do is head on over to weirdchannelq.com where you can see some of your favorite artists in Las Vegas, like Billie Eilish, Post Malone, Rufus Du Sol, Carly Rae Jepsen. I think we're talking with Carly Rae Jepsen next week, which is so exciting. And that's how you can register to win and hang out with us.
But what if you go there and you're like, where am I going to stay?
Us? Oh, them?
Yeah.
No, they're going to be taken care of as well. You've got a hotel stay. You've got a $100 gas card.
Oh, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, no, everything's taken care of. Yes, so it's going to be so much fun.
All right, so later in the hour, we're going to be doing our What's Poppin' segment. That's when we give you some of the headlines in pop culture news. Ariana Grande is making huge news for suing a major retailer. I'll tell you about that. As well as the founder of a conversion therapy center. The founder, the guy who said, this is my mission in life. Found it. Here's my plot. He just came out as gay. I know. I'll tell you all the details about that after we do some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, the destruction that Hurricane Dorian heaped upon the northern Bahamas is unimaginable. A good portion of Grand Bahama Island is underwater. Parts of the Abaco Islands are decimated. Thousands of homes and businesses have been heavily damaged or destroyed. Now, at least 7 people have been killed by Dorian, the strongest storm to ever make landfall in the Bahamas. But the country's prime minister said the death toll will rise as rescue teams get out into the hardest hit areas. Among the dead are an 8-year-old boy who was found by his mother and a woman who drowned in her house while her husband watched helplessly. Now, meanwhile, Dorian is slowly creeping along the southeast U.S. coast. The Category 2 storm is skirting the coasts of Florida and Georgia, but CNN meteorologist Judson Jones says just a little wobble to the west could mean Dorian makes a landfall in either South or North Carolina. So we will continue keeping you updated on that, of course. Now, in other news, you can pretty much get anything at Walmart, but it's about to get a lot harder to find guns and ammo there. The mega retailer says it will stop selling handgun ammunition and short barrel rifle ammunition, the kind that can be used in assault style weapons. Walmart is also asking that customers no longer openly carry guns into its stores. Kroger did that too, actually. And Walmart CEO Doug McMillon says these changes were spurred by the El Paso, Texas mass shooting, which happened in a Walmart, as well as recent shootings in Dayton, Ohio, and Midland and Odessa, Texas. He also sent a letter to Congress demanding lawmakers do their part to stop gun violence. Walmart will, however, continue to sell long barrel deer rifles and shotguns and much of the ammunition for those weapons. All right, you guys, well, coming up this hour, like Poppy said, we have a lot going on, but coming up first, a former conversion therapy leader is coming out. We have opinions on the damage that he's already done, but is his apology enough? We'll talk about it next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. It's Grandpa Rodriguez with a back that is out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have a bathtub. I mean,
I feel so bad. You got to get one of those rollers. If you roll on the roller thing, it helps your back a lot.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. You can get it at like Ross.
You know who I ran into? David Hernandez. He said he sent you a back thing and he wanted to send me one.
No, I haven't gotten it yet.
Oh.
He said he was going to, but I haven't gotten it. I would love to. I know it's supposed to stretch you out. It feels so good, he said.
Yeah.
But I haven't tried it yet.
I wonder if it's like one of those like preventative or you get it when you're in pain. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Hey, so there's this former conversion therapy leader who has come out of the closet. By the way, this is not the first time. Do you know about this?
I know about this, and this story actually infuriates me, so I'm going to let you break it down, and then I'll just give you my thoughts.
Well, this guy, his name is McCray. Sure. McCray Game. He spent about 20 years promoting the ex-gay therapy and was once considered a leading voice in conversion therapy movement as the head of Hope for Wholeness, a homophobic hate group that claims to help people, quote, discover a way out of homosexuality. That is until June of this year when he came out as gay. Oh, my God. I mean, guys,
this is how it always goes down,
but I'll finish the thought and we can discuss. He says, now that he is disavowing his former organization, he hopes to undo some of the damage that he already caused. He said, conversion therapy is not just a lie, but it's very harmful because it's false advertising. Too little too late, or what do you think?
Yeah, here's the problem. I feel two ways about this. Because of this man, the youth that he was speaking to, some of them I'm sure had very suicidal thoughts, maybe did commit suicide. If they didn't, they maybe grew up to have now a lifelong of needing therapy, dysfunctional relationships, constantly having the rhetoric that you are wrong for being gay, and now you want to come out and say it was all a lie. I'm gay, and then we should, accept you. I understand that maybe he was fighting his own homosexuality so hard that he felt like being the leader.
Doesn't that make you reconsider? You know, there's that Shakespeare quote, "Thou dost protest too much." People who talk about something all the time, you're like, you're probably the one who's hiding this.
Yeah.
If you're the biggest zealot against the LGBTQ plus community, what you hiding? Anyway, he went on to say, we've done wrong. We need to admit our wrongs and do what we can to stop the wrong from continuing to happen. He says, I was a religious zealot that hurt people. People said they attempted suicide over me and the things I said to them. People I know are in therapy because of me. Why would I want that to continue?
I mean, you let it continue for 20 years. What made him stop now? Was he just tired of it? Was the guilt getting to him? Did he finally feel like he needed to live his truth? It's just problematic because there's 20 years that he can't take back of people trying to live their lives and not feel like they're wrong or bad for being who they are.
He did say this, I want all ex-gay ministry dismantled. We've harmed generations of people. He says, I hope they just give me a chance to talk to them so I can hear them out and I can apologize.
Well, what I hope he does is also for the next 20 years, truly try then to dismantle conversion therapy and really try to make a difference in that way.
He'd be the best person because he's lived it from all sides.
I'd actually like to speak to him. I think he's interesting.
I think he would be great to come on the show. We can try to get him on and I think have a really interesting look at the world of conversion therapy in 2019 and the shape of it, because I think a lot of people think it's, you know, a camp or you send someone away. And sometimes it's a lot more subtle than that. It happens in a homegrown mom and pop church just down the block from where you live, and people don't understand that it's actually happening little by little, just having little, you know, group meetings or perhaps one-on-one with the pastor, all in efforts to try to dismantle who someone is.
Well, listen, you don't need to get beat up or have something physical happen to you for you to feel the damage of just simply words, constantly being told you're wrong, you're bad, that's dirty, that's gross. Mm-hmm. You have to live with that, and that's like embedded in your mind.
The creator of the universe hates you for this sin that you're living.
You're a sinner, yes, 100%. I mean, that's kind of worse than the beating.
You know, I remember growing up in church and personally feeling this very same way, and then having an epiphany, like an aha moment. Because I remember being very young and never having had actually done anything sexual with a man before. And I remember having the urges and kind of figuring out that that meant that I was gay. And I didn't have the language or visual representation of what it looked like. So I didn't even know that what I felt was an actual thing. What was really hard on top of all of that was the constant anti-gay messaging that I received at my church. And I remember at one point thinking, if I'm so young and innocent and pure, why would God give me these thoughts? And after praying and weeping at the altar for years for this thing to go away, and it didn't, I was like, okay, maybe this is just like actually who I am.
Right.
And then everything else just kind of seemed like a whole lot of BS to me when people, and then frankly, I had a lot of people in church who were very overtly gay behaving or gay presenting that were the biggest anti-gay folks, only later to have them come out later in life. A lot of people in my youth group, who were the youth group leaders, were very, very gay and into the arts and the fabulous, but lied and or were closeted and late, came out later in life. Listen, there's many a music minister that are still working in churches, and people just do the don't ask, don't tell in those spaces.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Well, listen, if we can get him on the phone, we will. I would love to speak with him simply because I do hope that he changes the minds of, you know,
I think he can
running conversion therapies and use now make up for what he's done for 20 years.
And what we can do to maybe help people, parents who are sadly thinking that they can actually achieve some good with this.
That's right.
I think his story is really powerful. So we'll see if we can get him on.
All right, you guys. Well, listen, everyone is going back to school, but we have questions. When I went to school, things were priced so differently.
Oh, yeah. I had Elmer's glue paste.
I did, too. I think I actually ate it one time.
Did you? I knew you did.
We're going to do a little trivia game called Back to School. So stick around and play with us for the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
So I have some really sad news to report.
What?
I'm going to save it for what's popping. You have to keep it here.
Okay.
Hey, so it's back to school for a lot of people. Did you, you know, get any presents for your niece and nephew as they return? Oh, wait, I guess they're too young.
No, I went. I picked them up from school, both of them.
Oh, so what grade-ish are they? Pre-K?
So Natalia's in pre-K.
Got it.
And then Aiden is in third grade.
Okay. You think?
Oh my God, why am I doing this right now? He might be listening on air.
Aiden, this is Jay.
He's in fourth grade. He's in fourth grade because he's not going to be 10. He's
Zia
in fourth grade.
Absolutely, oh God, does not do care that about your education.
Oh my God, I'm the worst aunt. He's not going to be 10. He's in fourth grade. Love you, Aiden. I picked him up from school.
The phone rings. He's actually in second grade.
He's like, he's in high school.
All right. Well, listen, let's play a little game, back to school trivia. It's been a long time since I've been back to school shopping, but this time of year is so linked with back to school that even if you don't have kids, it does bring up some memories of what it was like to be back in school.
Oh,
so Justin, our producer, is going to run the game. Justin, tell us how it goes.
Yeah. So I'm just going to give you guys some good little fun facts, and you're going to tell me whether these are true or false.
Okay.
So very simple, very easy.
I feel like she has a leg up because you have a niece and nephews. This is
but I didn't buy their school supplies this year.
Okay.
So I don't.
So not really anything to do with school supplies because rather basic. So I just wanted to go with a little fun stuff that you guys may be able to find a little bit amusing. So,
okay.
Michaela, here we go. In Armenia, All children age 6 and up are taught chess at school as it is a mandatory part of their curriculum.
True.
Or false? It is.
That's
true.
Good. I know some schools
have
yoga.
Great.
Some schools, they put yoga in there, and it really helps the kids behave.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Michaela, you're on the board. Jay.
Yes.
The mascot of the Rhode Island School of Design is Scroty, a set of male genitalia. Their basketball team is a name I can't say, and mm-hmm. the hockey team is the Nats. Is that true or false?
And where is this again?
Rhode Island School of Design.
I mean, the School of Design, I don't think they'd stand for it. If it was the school of, like, you know, tech or like, you know, like shop, then maybe. But I think the School of Design would have more class. So I'm going to say that's false.
No,
oh, it's right.
Way.
Wow.
It's Scroty.
And no one complained in 2019.
I will show you a photo of the mascot. It is unbelievable.
Wait, and it's a name that you can't even say on air?
Mm-hmm.
For Rhode Island?
Mm-hmm.
Shady. Mm.
Michaela, Benito Mussolini, the famous 1940s dictator of Italy, was expelled from school when he was 10 years old for cheating on a classmate. He did the same thing at his next school. True or false?
Cheating on, like physically, or
cheated
from
on a test.
Oh, true.
He was expelled for school for stabbing a classmate.
Oh
at age
my
10.
God, psycho. Wow, that's terrifying. Great.
Schools are different now.
Okay.
Jay,
yeah.
Your chance to tie it up. A man graduated from Columbia University in New York mm-hmm. after performing his janitorial duties at the school full-time for 12 years. True or false?
He retired?
He graduated from Columbia. Prestigious New York school.
Yeah, I'll say true.
That's true. You tied it up. Well done. 1-1. Michaela, the students in Canada receive the most homework in the world. At an average, teenagers do a whopping 14 hours of homework in a week. True or false?
Oh, my God. True. Okay, great.
It's China.
Oh, that would make sense, though. That would totally make sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're all relatively true. It's just, you know, devil's in the details. Jay.
Yes.
Summer vacations in Chile start from mid-December and end in early March. That's 3 whole months away from school. True or false?
Ooh. Now, because I'm thinking, you know, they have different summer times and winters, right? If it's Southern Hemisphere. I'm going to say true.
You're exactly right for the reasons you gave.
Well done.
Would you be for all year school if it meant you could do less years?
Yeah, you know what? I actually always thought that year-round school was interesting because I felt like it gave an appropriate break at a time when you needed it. Like, instead of having all 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and then if you could go for shorter, I would think that would be great.
Ooh, interesting.
Okay. One more round. Michaela. As recently as 2009, China had elementary schools wholly sponsored by alcohol brands. One in Sichuan had a message at the front gate that said, "Alcohol, a cocktail can help you become an achiever."
Well, first
honestly,
of all.
Honestly, I agree.
Sage words.
So, true, false, I'm going with true. Worked for me. Well, I'm getting that sign and putting it outside of Channel Q Studio. So mm-hmm.
It was actually
that.
Big Tobacco.
Wow.
They said tobacco can help you become an achiever.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Wow. Jeez. Now everyone's smoking their jewels. They think that's true.
Jay, your final question. The Beatles song I Am the Walrus was written after John Lennon learned that the English master in his former high school was making the class analyze lyrics from Beatles songs. In his response, he wrote the most confusing lyrics he could and said, "Let the effers work that one out."
First of all, if that isn't true, that's quite an elaborate lie.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of confusing Beatles songs. Like, there's a lot of confusing Elton John songs.
All right, true or false?
Like, who's Benny, and why does he have so many jets? You know
oh,
I mean?
That was his friend when they grew up in second
grade. Okay, what the heck is a yellow submarine?
It's, if you go underneath the water.
I think it's Disneyland.
Okay, I'm going to say that is, for poops and giggles, I'll say that's true. Wow.
You just won. 3-1.
Yay.
Well, congratulations.
Looks like
whatever.
I'm ready to go back to school. Coming up next, what's popping? What is one of these things are you really excited about? I'm frankly quite curious about the Ariana Grande situation.
Yeah, that's really, really crazy. But also find out what celebrity released some private.
What?
It was text? Privacy. No, it was news. And she did it while she was drunk. Otherwise, she would have never done it.
She leaked some information?
Yeah. Because she was drunk. Personal information.
Honestly, if it was you, I'd be so pleased.
Honestly, it is.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Michaela, get off the phone with Rihanna. It's time for What's Poppin', some of the biggest headlines in pop culture news.
All right, you guys. Well, this is crazy because although I'm obsessed with Rihanna, she's not in the headlines currently, but Ariana Grande is. Apparently, she's suing the already soon-to-be filing for bankruptcy Forever 21 for $10 million.
What did they do to her?
For using photos that look like her and sort of kind of trying to say that it's Ariana, but it's not. And
did you think they look like her?
No, I didn't actually.
So it's a model who happens
to
look.
It's obvious that maybe they were trying to go for that vibe, but I don't think she looked anything like Ariana Grande. However, you reminded me of a story that happened to our girl Kim Kardashian a few years ago.
Yes.
She was a dancer, part of the Pussycat Dolls, Melissa Molinaro.
Yeah.
They used her in an Old Navy commercial, and Kim Kardashian said, no way, I'm going to sue Old Navy for $20 million and got that money, honey. So we'll see.
I feel like some of these images, and maybe we'll throw them on our Instagram, We Are Channel Q. I mean, some of these pictures do look like they were going for an Ariana vibe with the photos. I don't think the model looks identical, but similar hair, makeup, similar lighting to very popular.
Similar headband.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll have to keep you guys informed. For me, though, I feel like it's a little bit of a stretch.
I did think Kim Kardashian was in that Skechers ad or whatever it was.
I did, too. I did it with the Old Navy. Here's the thing. Ariana Grande is no stranger to cultural appropriation, so this is a good lesson for her to stop stealing other people's things, and then maybe people won't steal from her looks either. All right, you guys. Well, this story is close to home for you because Grace and Frank are going to end with their 7th season, but they did become Netflix's longest running original.
That's awesome.
So the girls are calling it quits after their 7th season. It makes sense, though. Sometimes you want to stop something while it's still good.
And if you haven't watched the show, just go on over and watch episode, I can't remember what number it is, but season 2, you'll see a familiar face.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, speaking of television, reality television and Kim K is opening up saying she's the one who leaked news about her surrogacy pregnancy, and she leaked it because she was drunk. She said, that's why I don't drink.
I can't imagine her drinking.
She said, I don't drink. When I do, things like that happen. I spill the tea. I do things I don't want to do. So
what's your excuse?
She doesn't really, listen, it just comes out, sober or not, you're getting it all from me. All right, this is an interesting story, and it kind of made me feel really bad. Britney Spears cannot stay out of headlines, but apparently now Kevin Federline is accusing Britney Spears' father of child abuse.
Oh.
He's been physically abusive towards their children, and so he is now fighting for 70% custody instead of the 50-50 that they've got.
So, I mean, is it like one of those spare the rod, spoil the child, like, you know, every kid should get a spanking kind of vibe, and then maybe Kevin doesn't support that?
I don't know. You know, that father has been in the headlines as well for apparently and allegedly doing a lot of wrongdoing to Britney. So I just wish that family the best of luck. That's too bad for them. All right. Well, to finish What's Poppin', R. Kelly is being transferred to general population. Apparently, that's what he wanted. He felt like he was dealing with a lack of human interaction. It was really bothering him. So he's going to general population.
How is that going to work out for him?
Let me tell you something. It's either going to work really, really, really well because he's got so many fans and people will just like do what he wants.
But then he's accused of basically raping young girls. It depends on how people feel about that. Because they're teenagers, but still that's a young girl.
Well, that's been the controversy from the beginning. His fan base is like, no, they wanted to. They chose to. They wanted to be there with him. So we'll see how it goes, but I would never. All right, you guys. Well, coming up in our final hour, we are so excited because we've got a lot to talk about, including a 1950s etiquette guide that even had us going crazy. It's your office etiquette. Stick around with the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
For those of you who don't know, I was the original culture guy on the original Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, which aired on Bravo just over 16 years ago. And so coming up in this hour, we're going to delve into a 1950s etiquette guide for etiquette at the workplace.
I also, this had me gagged.
I have a feeling some things might have changed. But we'll go through that together. And then, of course, we'll be chatting with our faves, with Allie. And I think it's going to be Clayton today for Drop the Subject. I love when they join us. It's nice to have a little family crosstalk thing. There's so many incredible shows on the station. I never see any of them. We're always here so early.
That's right.
And everyone else is here during other parts of the day. But till we get there, what else do you have going on this week? Anything exciting? I think tomorrow I'm going to be on Extra with the Mario Lopez.
Yay! That's amazing.
I'm talking about, I might mention this and you, but I think I'm talking about Dance Moms.
Talk about me.
I will. I'll just try to discreetly, how about I give you a physical, like, symbol? You know how, like, Carol Burnett would pull her ear?
Yeah, okay.
Maybe I'll do something like
something
that.
Do something fun like that, yeah. You know, you guys know I've been writing, and have been trying to write music for a while for a new EP. So I have a writing session today with somebody I'm really excited about.
Well, I know who it is. It's very. It's a person who just got a number one hit.
Let me tell you something. This is aligning itself because I didn't know when we set up this meeting.
Asked him before he was.
That was all going to go down.
Number one-ing.
So the number one-ing.
Yeah.
And then we're going to, Lisa and I are doing something really fun this weekend.
Oh.
We're going to, you know how we have DragCon?
Yeah.
Well, there's like a DragCon for Sephora. So.
Oh, like a music kind of like conference, like a convention kind
like
of style?
Like a makeup thing. And you go and you can get all these products. And so we're going to go do that because we're very girly.
Can't
and I'll
wait.
Get you all the things that you need to. I'm going to get you everything you
I
want.
I love brushes.
Fine, I'll get you brushes.
Actually, can I put in a request?
Yeah, you texted me.
I would like a brow kit that's easy just to fill in my brows. That's all I want.
Done.
But like a one-stop shop that I don't want to carry like a million things with me.
No, I'm going to help you.
Great,
I've got it
perfect.
All.
All right, well, it's time for some news on the beat. Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
Okay, guys. Well, the destruction that Hurricane Dorian heaped upon the northern Bahamas is unimaginable. A good portion of Grand Bahama Island is underwater. Parts of the Abaco Islands are decimated. Now, thousands of homes and businesses have been very heavily damaged or destroyed. At least 7 people have been killed by Dorian, the strongest storm to ever make landfall in the Bahamas. But the country's prime minister said the death toll will rise as rescue teams get out into the hardest hit areas. Among the dead are an 8-year-old boy who was found by his mother and a woman who drowned in her house while her husband watched helplessly. Now, Dorian is slowly creeping along the southeast U.S. coast. The Category 2 storm is skirting the coasts of Florida and Georgia, but CNN meteorologist Judson Jones says just a little wobble to the west can mean Dorian makes a landfall in either South or North Carolina. But we'll continue keeping you updated. Also, in better fun news, we want to remind you that September 20th, 21st, and 22nd, you can head down to downtown Las Vegas to see some of your favorite Channel Q artists like Billie Eilish, Post Malone, Rufus Du Sol, Carly Rae Jepsen. You just have to head on over to wearechannelq.com for your chance to win tickets. You'll have a hotel stay at the Downtown Grand Hotel and, of course, a $100 gas gift card. And you'll be able to party with us, me and Poppy Rodriguez. It'll be so much fun. So head on over there. Now, coming up, we are reviewing the 1950s etiquette guides, and it even has our culture guy, Shook. Stick around with a new Channel Q.
All right, so we were talking about earlier 1950s office etiquette.
I loved it because let me tell you something. You said it best. People are so thirsty to make America great again, and these are the lives they want to go back to. These women are going to have a rude awakening.
Well, here are 13 office etiquette tips that you need to know for modern day. All right, let's try this one. Don't interrupt your coworkers.
Good.
Don't interrupt me.
Good.
Be
good.
Be polite, not rude.
Fine.
Yeah, that's good. Don't be loud. We've ruined that one.
I don't even know what that means, don't be loud. I'm so tired of people being like, don't be loud. What does that mean?
Well, let's bring more ladies into the conversation. Allie from Drop the Subject and, of course, Cher is here.
Hi.
Don't be loud.
Come on up, ladies.
Hi, everyone.
So we were giving 1950s office etiquette tips back in the day, what the rules you were expected to follow.
These are from the 50s.
That was the original plan back. Yeah, we gave those early in the show. Have you ever stumbled across those?
I like looking at the old 1950s and 60s PSAs.
Oh.
Yeah, that's good. Well, these rules.
The ones that are like, don't smoke with your baby. Smoke with your baby inside of you instead. It's like things that are so outdated and don't make sense anymore.
Here are some of the rules, and tell me if these would have been hard for you to follow. One, smile readily. and naturally.
Yeah, that would have been hard for me to follow. I mean, in fairness, I'm a black woman, so I don't know if these rules would even be applicable to me in the 1950s.
I think these are for like white female secretaries.
Yes, absolutely.
They encourage you, to be fastidious about your appearance.
I said, I don't know what fastidious means, so I would have failed there too.
By the way, you weren't allowed to wear long earrings. Oh, that would have been a good one for me.
Yeah, you would have loved it.
Because you would be answering the phones and they would get in the way, they say.
Oh, please. I'm a woman of many talents.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to go, hello, hello, hello. Ow, my hoops.
Maintain excellent posture.
Of course. Honey.
Yeah, but that's kind of a good one.
How comfortable is the chair, though?
I was thinking.
How comfortable is the chair, though, that I'm going to be
sitting real. In? That's real. That's real. All right, how about this one? Keep a pleasing and well-modulated voice.
I didn't even know what that meant. I was like,
I guess that means don't yell. Raise your voice to a man.
Right.
How about this one? Mr. Sweetelson.
Refrain from sarcasm. You're done, Allie.
Oh, yeah.
Allie, you're out of there.
Job's over.
This one's going to be hard. Conceal your boredom. That's hard to hide.
Now I'm out of it. So, Allie, you and I are both fired.
Okay, eliminated. Right
now, this one kills Michaela.
Left?
Always avoid gossip.
Okay. Oh, I was like, bye, I gotta go, done. Honey, I'm TMZ, I'm a walking TMZ, I know everything, I gotta know.
So it's funny because we think about now about how robots would be taking our jobs, but if gossip is out, then none of us would have jobs in the 1950s.
Yeah. Also, you're not supposed to talk about yourself at work.
I feel like that's part of workplace etiquette, water cooler, like small talk. Like, what'd you do this weekend? Or how's the kids? How's the wife supposed to say?
I don't know. Yeah. It was very pleasant. Maybe it was just that people asked you, then you could say,
but you couldn't like initiate a conversation about yourself.
You're supposed to say one thing.
To the men?
I don't think so. I think there's only ladies.
Women.
But you could always say under his eye.
Under his eye.
I mean, you might
blessed
well.
Be.
Still.
Blessed be the day.
Well, this last one says never expect a promotion.
Oh, give me a break.
You didn't read me that one.
Yeah,
in the
that was the one I saved for everyone else. Yeah.
Bye. Not
that's in 2019 as well.
Could you imagine? I know. It feels like that sometimes.
Yeah.
So now what are y'all going to be talking about and drop the subject?
Well, we have a lot to get down to today. We have the GMA, which is something we always do on Wednesdays, which I don't think I've ever done with you, Char.
Well, I think we have.
Have we? Have
at
we
least
done
once.
Once?
Oh, okay. At least once.
And then it is someone's birthday today.
Oh.
It's a very important birthday, and because this is somebody that Char's a big fan of, I have a surprise for her.
Oh my gosh!
If Beyonce comes in here at any moment, I'm going to die.
I think she's on the East Coast right now.
I just called her
Could
up.
You imagine Allie's the one that gets Beyonce Allie here? She's like, Allie.
She would be.
She would. She made the Popeye sandwich, the LGBTQ sandwich. I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
That is still TBD.
She's got a whole beehive behind us.
When are they coming back? By the way, have you seen the outpouring of chicken commercials for Fat Food Chain? Everyone has a new chicken something.
Yes.
A Fat Food Chain is definitely a Freudian slip there,
that
Jay.
Was such a Freudian.
I had a radio ad the other day about some local place, I guess like in Downey, that has chicken sandwiches now. Like everybody's talking about their chicken
sandwiches. There is
sandwich.
A place. We'll talk about there is a local chain in D.C. that is immigrant owned, and they apparently have a better chicken sandwich than the Popeyes one, and they've seen a major uptick in their business. So I think we should give them a call as well.
Yeah, okay. Call them. We stand
and,
with them.
And in Houston, I believe it was in Houston. There was a Popeyes that was approached, like raided, with a group of people.
Oh yeah,
and a handgun.
We chatted about that yesterday. Yeah. Crazy people do crazy things when they're out of chicken.
All right. Yes. Well, tomorrow's show we're gonna be talking. Since I'm single, we're gonna go through.
Anyway,
some dating
the
tips.
Crazy things you do without chicken.
Maybe that's
one.
That's actually a good way to end it. All right, guys, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Keep it here for Drop the Subject coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.